¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour of the show here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. It is officially now the All-Star break for the NHL. The Predators have been off. This is their bye week. The way they're doing it now, they have...
Was it like
one section of the
teams,
that take the extra days off going into the All-Star break, and the other remaining teams take a break after the All-Star break. What it does is it certainly condenses the schedule down the stretch once this break is over. And the Predators have played the fewest games in the league, so they will be very busy in February and March, which is good. They need to be because they are behind, and so they're going to need to take advantage of the games in hand. But in doing so, they will certainly have less rest than some of their teams that they are facing.
I'll ask Elliot this when we get him on.
Yeah, we'll be joined by him, and he's brought to us by Kerry Zire, RE/MAX Elite.
And I'll ask you this, though, because you obviously follow the games closely, being the play-by-play guy. Do you think since they've added this I call it spring break, but this break for the players, it was negotiated on
in the CBA,
in the CBA, of, you know, that they have this break, so they have a week off essentially, and then you have a condensed schedule to make up the time. Do you think it's changed the product? Is the product better? Do you see a difference in the player?
Well, why don't we start our discussion with Elliot? With that, we are joined by Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet, 31 Thoughts. I have it pulled up right now on my computer, and of course, he's with Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, welcome to the show once again. Are you going to St. Louis for the All-Star
I'm
break?
I'm here. You got me in my hotel.
Fantastic. Nice. Well, Chase asked the question. With the last couple of years, and they've done it slightly different times, but now, you know, either you have the break before the All-Star weekend or after.
Yep.
And Chase's question is, how do you think it affects the play? Because we were just pointing this out.
Have you seen a difference? Like, do you think that it's worked that you get the players for a week off and they're more refreshed and maybe some guys are healed up because they've had, you know, some injuries or nicks here and there? Do you think it's changed the product at all?
I think it's the one thing that was really bad a few years ago was they figured out that there were a bunch of teams that were getting time off and there were a bunch of teams that were still playing. And the teams that, when they met up, the teams that got time off had a horrible record. So because the teams that were playing, they were going and they were killing them. And so they changed the whole way it goes now. A whole bunch of teams go off at once, then a bunch of teams go off after. That way, A, they have hockey on TV every night, except around the All-Star break where there's the one night off. And two, you don't have teams playing each other where one's rested and one isn't, because the teams that were rested were getting clobbered. You know, the players really fight for this. The one thing is there's a lot more days off in the schedule now than there ever have been. When the last CBA was done in 2013, the players got 4 guaranteed days off a month. And now you get this around the All-Star break where you get, I think, 5 days off each team. You can't complain about lack of rest anymore. Like, this league is better at doing rest than it ever has been. Now you see more teams taking off the morning skates. I think there's one thing you can't say there. Ignoring, and that's just the players needing recuperation. There's plenty of it now.
So there's a compelling thing. The reason we bring this up in some cases is we're talking about the Predators, who have played the fewest games of anybody.
Yes.
They're on their break right now. They have, in some cases, 4 and 5 games in hand on some of these teams that they're chasing. But the other side of that, of course, is they're going to have some more back-to-backs in these last couple of months. So what's the trade-off?
Well, I think the other thing that happens, too, is – and this is, you know, it's actually a really interesting story, is that teams do have some slight control over their schedules. Now, teams always complain about it. They say, we don't get enough control because it's not possible. But a lot of teams do get control, some of it, over their schedule. They can submit dates. Because the league will ask you, and you have 41 home games, so I think they ask for something like 50 or 60 dates. They say, give us these nights that you'd like to play at home. How many nights is your building available? And one of the things I've always heard about markets like Nashville and in the southern states is they want more after football than they want before football. And Nashville's not the only team that's like that. I know Dallas has historically fought for that. And especially during the football season, they don't want home games on Friday, and they're not always crazy about them on Saturdays or Sundays either. So I think that it wouldn't surprise me if some of this is Nashville's own doing. They prefer that kind of a setup. And so when I see a team like the Predators having more dates later in the year, it doesn't come as a huge surprise to me.
You had an interesting almost start to your column this week with the 31 thoughts.
Where... I'm glad you said that my column was almost interesting.
Well, you almost started. You have a note before you start the notes, is what I meant, or the thoughts, if you will, the numbered thoughts. But
no, I'm just kidding.
You're talking about the Wild and the Blackhawks. Any scenario where the Predators get into the playoffs, to me, they've got to pass both of those teams.
Yep.
And you had them almost as sellers, but they've played well enough here recently that they're looking around going, hey, you know, somebody's got to get in there. We got a shot. So what do you think their thinking is right now?
Well, Minnesota, I know early in the year, they were kind of open for business, and Bill Guerin, their new GM, he had a lot of names out there. He had Kevin Fiala out there at one particular point in time, and you know, who you guys know really well, and Fiala's actually started to play better. He was, a healthy scratch for the first or second time in his career when the Wild came through Toronto. And I'd heard he was out there, and he's played better. You know, they've had some of their other players out there, but kind of out of nowhere, they made a run. Like, we all thought they were done. Like, we didn't think there was any chance they were making the playoffs, and we kind of saw them as one of the lower teams in the Western Conference. But, you know, they beat Detroit again last night. They're in it. Jason Zucker, the winger, he's been mentioned in a few things. I know Pittsburgh tried to trade for him in the summer for Phil Kessel. Kessel blocked that, went to Arizona instead. You know, but I think Pittsburgh still has them on the radar, but Minnesota's not giving up while they're still in the race. Well, they're still in the race, and they're not selling. So I think they're going to take a bit more time before the deadline on the 24th of February and see kind of where they are. Chicago is another team. I think they were starting to look around. I know there was some interest in Saad. I think there's some interest in Gustafson, the defenseman. But all of a sudden, the Blackhawks played their way back into the race, and they had a tough loss to Florida on Tuesday night. They needed that game. They didn't get it, but they're in the race. So I think those two teams are kind of I think there's interest in some of their players, but while they're in it, they're not going to sell off. So I think the next kind of two or three weeks will tell what they decide to do. Are we still in it, or are we selling?
Assess the situation for Winnipeg right now. The Predators have caught a break. They've sat there while Winnipeg's been playing, and Winnipeg has not been able to move ahead by a further gap. But Nashville went to Winnipeg, got a good win up there here recently. So that's a team that, you know, on the radar, the Predators in the big picture probably have to beat.
Yeah, Winnipeg, it's tough. Like, their goalie, who you know well, Hellebuck, has played unreal this year. He's been a Vezina Trophy, Hart Trophy, MVP-type player. But he's kind of come back to earth in the last little while. And I know there's been some talk that just the pressure of, you know, really holding the team in, he's worn down a little bit. You know, he played three. He didn't play last night in Columbus, but the three games he played before that, which was Tampa, Chicago, and Carolina, he gave up 8 goals in the three first periods. He just wasn't himself. And I think he needs a bit of a mental break, although he's coming up here for the All-Star game. You know, they played last night. It was typical of them. They played really hard. They had 3-1 goal leads, and they lost the game in regulation. You know, when they lost Byfuglien at the beginning, like, they knew they were going to lose Trouba, and they were pretty sure they were going to lose Myers, but they didn't think they were going to lose Bufflin. And it's and his decision to sit out at the beginning of the year, it's really hammered them. They can't really make moves because they don't know his status. He could come back in theory, and his cap hit is $7.6 million. It doesn't really allow them to do anything. So they knew they were shorthanded at the beginning of the year, and they really play hard. They're just not good enough, especially on the blue line. I think it's a real credit to how hard they've played that they've stayed in to this point, but their margin for victory and defeat, it's so thin. They're on a bad stretch right now. They need the break to regroup, but I think it's going to be a real fight for them to get in. Like, you know, I just think that they just don't. They're a little bit shy in terms of what they've got on their blue line, and I don't think they can fix it during the season because of the Bufflin situation.
Talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, and something that came up earlier in the show, Elliot, that honestly we don't have the answer for, and I don't know if you do either, but John Hines, do you happen to know his contract situation with the Predators and how long David Poile signed him to? Because that's just information we don't have.
I'm working on it. I believe now, I think he got one extra year, but I don't know that for sure.
So essentially, when you say one extra
year. This year and two more.
Okay.
That's what I think, but I'm not 100% sure on that, which is probably a bad thing for me to be saying on Nashville radio. But that's what I heard. I'm still working on it.
It's only been six games, but what's your assessment of the John Hines era thus far?
Well, I think that, you know, like I look at you guys this year and I think John Hines is running into the same thing. First of all, it's difficult to change, you know, who you are in the middle of a season, especially in a place like the Western Conference where, because of your travel, you don't get to practice as much. Teams have always told me that when you make a coaching change, one of the biggest things you have, especially if you're really asking to make a big change in the way you play, how many days do you have to practice? And it's always dependent on how you travel, and you guys have, you're centrally located, but the Western Conference teams always have fewer practice days. So that's number one. I always look at that as a bit of a handicap for a team because he's trying to change the way you play. But the thing is, generally, every team gets sort of like what we joke is the dead cat bounce from coaching. But in a lot of ways, you probably go back to who you are. And, you know, does it not seem to you guys like just something's missing this year?
Mm-hmm.
Like whether it's, you know, I remember last time we talked about what Milbury said about Johansson. You know, he hasn't looked like himself. You know, the goaltending, they haven't looked like themselves. Something's missing. When I watch you guys, I just say there's something missing there. Like there's, I think, you know, you guys grew up with the kind of disrespect, not, I don't know if disrespected or underrated sort of identity. You had to fight and claw for everything you guys had. And I don't know, it just seems like a little bit of that edge is gone there from your group. I don't know exactly what's happened, but that's what I see when I watch it from away. That I just remember, I know some of your guys like Arvidsson, Johansson, you know, when you guys went to the final in 2017, that whole Sissons, Watson, that group, I mean, there was a real edge to your group, and for whatever reason, it just doesn't seem to be there right now.
Yeah, and that's what's so hard to figure out is and how you get that back. I mean, we were talking earlier, and I said, look, I want to see this team make the playoffs, but I also don't want to see a team just barely get in and get beaten five games, and that's where I think David Poile has the struggle of trying to figure out what the right formula is with this team because of so many contracts that he's tied into.
Yeah, and I think that, and we've talked about this, I think David Poile has tried to do things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, we've mentioned some of the names, like he's had Granlund out there, he's had Smith out there, he's had Turris out there. You know, so I was on in Buffalo radio today, and so one of those guys asked me, do you think they'd ever move a guy like Arvidsson? And I'd say I'd be shocked if they'd move a guy like him. I think it's a great contract, and he's a big part of their identity. But I think if David Poile could have made a simple change, for lack of a better term, he would have done it already. And, you know, what it says to me is that he probably waits. Like, there's no point in you guys going out and getting a rental. I agree with you guys on that. So unless he's willing to do some major surgery now, he probably waits to see what's out there after the season. I mean, you guys got games in hand, you're right, but all of a sudden, like, the gap between you and the second wild card in the West is growing. It's farther than I think we all thought it was going to be. And even though Vegas doesn't look right either, they don't look like themselves. You know, I think there's reason to be concerned about the way you guys are going. It just, you know, for a long time, Nashville was always more than the sum of its parts. This year's team, for whatever reason, is less than the sum of its parts.
You bring up something, though. I'm with you. I don't see Victor Arvidsson being one of those guys that gets traded. But, you know, whatever this looks like at the end of the season and get into the offseason, I do wonder if moving one of those guys that we put in the no way they're traded category, if that is the change that's going to be needed to try and right this ship.
Well, I would be curious to know who you think one of those guys would be, because, like, you're not trading Yossi.
Right.
I can't see you trading Ellis.
Correct.
I don't, like, every team in the league would love to have Ekholm. I can't see you guys doing that. You know, Johansson, like, he's got a big number, and he's having a rough year. Like, you're trading him at a disadvantage. Are you trading Duchene a year in? Like, all of a sudden, we're starting to run out of guys. And
right.
And I guess, the one thing, like, the other thing, too, is Arvidsson's yours.
Homegrown.
Like, he's a born-and-bred Predator. He fits the attitude of what you guys were for a long time. Like, I understand you have to trade quality to get quality. But to me, like, you know, he's a Predator. And you're taking out a good chunk of your identity if you move that guy.
Elliot, you mentioned there's some guys on expiring contracts, and it's almost impossible now that the Predators are a cap team. That is another thing that is different now than it was on some of those teams you referenced, where they were the scrappy sort of underdog that had to fight for everything. Well, they didn't have the resources that they have now. And so part of that is you don't have much flexibility. But is there a hockey trade to be made if you're saying maybe they could use an extra veteran defenseman, an upgrade from what they've got, and they could use a forward as trade bait? Is that kind of deal out there? Or is it, what's the market for, say, a number four defenseman?
Well, I think you could probably make a pretty reasonable deal for that. You know, I think at this time of the year, you know, the depth guys you can identify pretty easily, and you can make those kinds of deals. I don't think they're as difficult. You know, the thing is, like, you already know what's – I think it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the conversation. I think a lot of teams, you kind of already know what's out there, right? Like, you know what's out there from L.A., you know what's out there from Anaheim, you know what's out there from Jersey, you know what's out there from those kinds of teams. I think now you're waiting to see, okay, what does Minnesota decide to do? What does Montreal decide to do? What does Chicago decide to do? You know, is there anybody else? You know, does Toronto move one of their free agent D? So, you know, I think you're in a situation where unless David Poile feels he has to move right away, you know, some of that will shake out over the next little while. There's a lot of players out there, I think, guys, that teams kind of know what it's going to take to get them. Like, you know, LA's got a couple of guys. You know, one of them is Alec Martinez, for example, although he's got another year left. You know what it's going to take to get him. So either David does that or decides not to do that, or he waits to see, does someone else become available who he likes.
Last thing,
but you can make those deals. Those deals are available.
Last thing for you, Elliot. The team that comes in here Monday night is an interesting one, and you just referenced them. The Toronto Maple Leafs, kind of like the Predators, high expectations, hasn't gone their way. So you got a couple of teams in the same boat. So kind of you have this a lot in your column this week, but the Toronto's got a lot swirling around up there.
Yep. We do. We always do. And if we don't, we'll make it up. Like, that's the way the Toronto media is, right? You know what? There's a lot of pressure here. There's no question. They made the coaching change. They took off. They've kind of come back down to earth. You know, I've said this a lot this week, but Toronto reminds me about the Washington Capitals like a decade ago. Like, a lot of talent, didn't know how to win yet. And eventually they got there and they finally won because they had great talent and they surround them with good players and they figured out how to win. And that's what I think Toronto is. I mean, you know, Sheldon Keefe, the coach, he ripped them. Their last game before the break was Chicago, and they got blown out of the building, and he called them immature. And I think it's probably true. I think there's a lot of guys there that are really talented, but, you know, it's hard to win in this league. And what I think they'll do is they'll keep sending these guys out year after year until they figure it out. And but I think their future's bright. It's hard to win, and I don't think they fully understand how hard it is yet.
Elliot, great stuff as always. Enjoy your weekend in St. Louis. We're looking forward to watching the All-Star festivities, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Elliot.
All right, Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. He is brought to you by Kerry Zier, RE/MAX Elite. When we come back, we'll give you your chance to go to ticket or to see the game between the Predators and the Maple Leafs. But I hope you were listening because you
must pay attention.
You had to pay attention. This is called not reading comprehension, but you know, whatever audio comprehension. Okay, we'll come up with the term. But you got a chance to win tickets to Monday night. So that's coming up in our next segment. Stay tuned. We're coming back.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.